back, continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And as promised, we're bringing back on Richard Postma, also known as Doc. Been a few months since we last had Doc on the show, and very happy to get his more technical outlook for the metals, individual metal stocks that Doc is accumulating and trading, as well as move into some of the other markets out there, the bond market specifically, and also U.S. equity markets. So Doc, without further ado, let's get right into the gold market. Gold has been knocking on the door of $3,000 an ounce. Little bit of weakness this week, but again, overall, we continue to talk about just how strong this gold price is, and it seems like any sell-offs are pretty quickly bought back, and any dips are relatively shallow. So, Doc, in terms of the chart, what are you seeing? Are we in for another up leg here, or could gold level out for a little bit longer?
I think we're topping out here, Corey, for a while. And it wouldn't surprise me if we almost for sure the next couple of months are not going to be that kind to gold. And then after a couple of months, I can probably tell technically whether it's going to endure longer than just 2 months or whether then we're going to have a rebound go higher.
Well, Doc, when you look at the charts, a lot of times you're looking at longer term charts, the weekly, the monthly. Any indications you see technically in the charts that lead you to that impression?
Yeah, because usually I look at the monthly a lot, but right now I think the key chart to watch is the daily, actually. And the daily shows that your 12-day moving average has taken out the 26-day moving average and is starting to trend lower. And so I think the odds are good that we're heading down to 2850 on this current move. And then we might get a little rebound, but then we may head even a little bit lower going into March and April.
Doc, if we look back in history, look, it's very rare, actually, that we've seen gold in overbought territory on the daily, weekly, and monthly charts, and that's where we're at right now. Looking at a 25-year chart of gold, the only other times that I see gold in an overbought monthly chart is back in 2006, 2008, and then 2020. It was briefly there also in 2011, but looking at history and also just looking at this chart, pretty much how vertical the gold price has gone in the last year or two. What do you compare this to in terms of history and the gold price move that we have seen in the last about year to two, but then also going back to really 2015, it's been 10 years and gold is up 3x pretty much.
Yeah. And you don't see anything like that. You could probably go back to the late 1970s. And into 1980, where you see a chart like this, but it's really unusual, the magnitude of this move. And if one would look at the MACD on the monthly chart, one could say, gee, we're going even further because it looks that strong. But the daily is sending off some warning signs right now, and so is the weekly chart. And generally, I stick with the monthly until it's tells me I'm wrong, but I think the daily is starting to warn people now that we've reached a level where it's going to be hard to take out 3,000 with any vigorous action. Now, we could move a little higher yet next week and so forth, but there's warning signs that we've topped out here for a while. But that necessarily isn't bad because people think, well, this bull market is over, but no, I think we're still in a long-term bull market. But you're going to have some pullbacks, and that's healthy. And I think we're about to see one here. And it's just a matter of what the magnitude is going to be. But time will tell. I'll be able to forecast that a little bit better after we get a couple more months under our belt.
Well, the action usually starts on the daily first anyways, and then it translates over to the weekly and monthly. But to the point you just made about it being a long-term bull market, a lot of people will look at this correction and wonder, are we going to see the same thing at $3,000 gold, the inability to attain it, that we did at $2,000 gold? If you remember back in 2011, everybody was just sure we were going to make it to $2,000 and beyond, and it stopped at 1921, 1923. do you think that there's any risk of that happening where we just never make it to 3,000? Or the comment you just made about it being a longer term bull, do you expect still much higher prices?
Yeah, I do expect more higher prices, but we could go the whole year and trend down, and I'd still feel that we're in a long-term bull market because the manic stocks haven't shared in this bull market yet. And before it's over, you're going to see the mania with the juniors have, and we haven't even seen that. But it's like I said 3 years ago or 4 years ago when I told people we'd probably topped in 2020, and a lot of them were so bullish yet, and we traded off, and I told them to expect that we were reaching a top and we were going to trade sideways to down for quite a bit of time, and we did for almost 2 or 3 years. And you could see that again here, but I don't think so. I think what we're going to see is we're going to see that gold and silver will go into a little bit of hibernation for a while. They're overbought, and they could move out of overbought territory, but then they could move right back into it, which often happens in a strong market. And that's what I'm kind of curious to see as we go forward, whether we move out of overbought territory and then we elevate back into it and just do one of those things over the next number of months as we go forward. And that would really show me a strong market. And you can stay there for quite a while, frankly. And then ultimately, if that happens, you're going to get your mania phase in the juniors.
Yeah, eventually. But hey, here and now, look, we've been saying that this is a very good market for a wide range of companies. And as much as everybody's hoping for these juniors to catch a bid across the board, to me, that's more end of cycle type of move. So we haven't seen that yet. And to your point about being in overbought territory, that signifies a bull market. So yes, the longer it can stay around and at overbought levels, that's always positive. But Doc, you brought up silver. And look, let's be honest, the silver chart has not been as strong as the gold chart. Broadly, silver has lagged gold. Yes, it's broken out to multi-year highs, but it's still a long way away from all-time highs. And it hasn't provided that sort of leverage that gold has in terms of simply price moves here on a percentage basis, even really on a dollar basis. Doc, what's going on with silver here? What's holding silver back?
I think what's holding silver back is silver may be anticipating a recession here and a decrease in demand. We all talk about a supply deficit that's been there for a number of years now. And I think that's what's really holding silver back. But even if we have a recession, I think you're still going to see a supply issue, although there's some mines that are really producing quite a bit of silver right now. But I think a longer term, we're still going to have a problem with the supply issue. And if we get stimulus again, because we move into a deep recession, I think silver is just going to be fine, because on a long-term chart yet, even though we're going to move down here a little bit, I don't think the long-term charts are at risk right now. We could move off a top here, and I think we will for a while, and we'll just have to see how deep the move is down. But I think we've topped out in silver for a while too.
Well, Doc, what does that portend to the precious metals equities? Because they tend to track silver more so than they do gold. And I guess in this answer, when you look at the stocks, are you looking at things like the GDX and GDXJ as far as the ETFs, or are you looking at the different story that a lot of individual stocks have on their charts compared to the GDX or GDXJ?
I look at both, and frankly, I'm not too concerned about the GDX, J and GDX right now when I look at them, because I think actually, as we get a pullback in gold and silver, I think the GDXJ and GDX aren't going to be impacted that much this time coming around, because, you know, the price is just relative. I mean, some of these companies are spitting out cash flow like crazy. And even if you drop gold $100 to $200, $300 and silver maybe $3 or $4, I don't think it's going to impact these stocks that much going forward this time. And so I think GDX, GXJ are fine. And in fact, on this pullback, I'm really excited about it. And I hope it stays with us a little while longer, because it just gives you more of an opportunity to pick up some of these companies again at depressed prices. So I think it's an opportunity. I don't have a problem with gold and silver selling off a little bit. I look at it as positive.
Doc, a little bit more insights on that GDX chart, though, because, look, there was the pretty much 3 months of weakness to end the year, and then a very strong rebound, pretty close to right back to the highs of last year, which, again, were multi-year highs. However, we're just seeing pathetic volume in stuff like GDX. So how do you balance out exactly what you're seeing on these charts, and what sort of levels could we see on something like the GDX chart if it is starting to roll over again?
Well, what's interesting on the GDX monthly right now, if we end where we are currently, the month, which is only 2 days from now, which I think will happen, we're closing at a monthly high that we haven't seen in 5 years. We're going to close over the monthly high in 2020, which is very positive. Now, I think we'll pull off of it for a while because it's just a good test. But in GDX, we could move back down to 35 and I wouldn't even be bothered by it. And we're currently at 40.96. So I don't consider that a big decline, actually. And we'd still be in a bullish mode, and we're at 40, almost 41 right now. So we can move down in that, and I don't think we're going to go much lower than that at all. So the bull market would be still intact for GDX. And also, I like the way the chart looks in GDXJ. And in fact, if you look at the MACD, the monthly MACD on GDX right now, it still looks very healthy, and it would have to start rolling over. But even the ADX, the strength indicator, looks fine. So I don't see the GDXJ and GDX impacted that much from gold and silver moving down a little bit here.
Well, Doc, like we were talking about off mic, a lot of the charts of individual gold or silver stocks are actually doing a lot better than the GDX or GDXJ. There's some laggards inside of those ETFs that kind of drag them down. But when you look at individual stocks in your own portfolio or ones that you're tracking, any of them jump out to you? Any charts you want to discuss?
Yeah, I like, and I just added a little bit more to it yesterday. I like Coeur. That's one of the companies I really like going forward. It's spitting out cash like crazy, and they got some good projects, and management is decent. And I just love the chart because on the monthly chart, the 200-month moving average is working down toward the pricing nicely. And once it gets close to it, I think eventually Coeur is going to take it out. It's not going to happen, I don't think, this year, but it will eventually do that. So I like Coeur. I like Equinox, especially now with their merger that they accomplished this past week, which is supposed to close in 2 to 3 months with Caliber. And Equinox shareholders came out of that pretty good because there was no premium for Caliber on that. And of course, their shareholders probably aren't happy. But I also like the fact that Equinox peaked its head over a new high this past month, and it's coming off of that. And that tells me that stock's ready to move up in the next phase. And then another company I bought heavily into when it was very low was America's Gold and Silver. And now they got new management, which I really respect. So those are three that I particularly like right now and that I have pretty strong positions in.
Doc, one thing that stands out to me with all of these is that these are not really anywhere near all-time highs. From what I'm seeing, these stocks, in a way, have lagged a large amount of other companies that have been breaking out and continuing to break out. So is that more the theme for you now, looking at these other companies that, yes, they're off their lows, but nowhere near all-time highs?
Absolutely. And I like to buy companies where I like the story also. And I like the stories of these. For instance, Equinox is going to be paying down debt like crazy the next 2-3 years.
Well, and I have like to. That. They just took on more debt.
Yeah, and they got a ton of debt already. So, and as they expand production going forward, if they don't have any major mess-ups, like so many mining companies can, I think Equinox is really a good value here. And so I go with the fact that these companies really haven't benefited at all, and they can easily double and more. And based on the stories, too, that's what I really focus on, and management. And so those are just three of the stocks I hold, but I'm particularly going to purchase more when they move, you know, down. Another one I like a lot, but I don't see moving higher real quickly until, you know, the future is, I like Integra a lot. I like the management there. I like how they manage that company, and I got a good position in that. It's going to take them a while to really get to move, but they will in the manic phase of this bull market, which is coming down the road. And so that's another one I particularly like.
Well, Doc, and all of those examples, Integra, Core, Equinox, and America's Gold and Silver, they're all producing companies. A lot of people listening in aren't really positioned in some of the producers. They're more leaning towards the pre-revenue juniors, either the developers or the explorers. Any stocks in those areas that trip your trigger?
You know, some of the ones that get people all excited, and I don't do too many, but things like Newfound Gold, for instance, I think they bottomed out, so I like them particularly. And there's others that I do too, but I try to stay with mid-tiers that have even more promise. I don't do a lot in the ones that have just found things, but where there's just hope included. Because one thing I really believe in is the Lassonde curve, where you find a promising development and the stock just takes off. And everybody gets excited, they pile in, and then they get just hammered when reality sets in. And the price drops back. And then the next part of the Lassonde curve is when they actually develop the mine. And that's the next time the stock runs. So that's why I kind of stay out of some of these, because it's just hope, a lot of it. And I don't like to lose money.
Fair enough, Doc. What about those optionality plays? What about all these companies that have resources in the ground that, look, ounces, gold ounces in the ground were being valued at $5 to $10 not that long ago, a few years ago. Now they're up to $10, $15, $20, $30. We've even seen some takeovers at much higher prices for ounces in the ground. Are you playing any of these, let's say, advanced explorers or so-called development companies that, quite frankly, are just sitting there with assets with ounces in the ground?
Not really, except, you know, one of them, of course, is Equinox. They have tremendous number of ounces in the ground, and they have promise of exploration and finding more because they got land package, which is good. But otherwise, not really. And the other ones I look forward is that have significant ounces. Don't give me a company with just 1 million ounces, because I like it when they find a really good promising aspect of indicative and where they have, you know, significant ounces. Those are the companies I look at. I don't look at the ones that really don't have many ounces and are unlikely to be takeovers based on that.
Yeah, you're making a great point, Doc, because there are a ton of companies now that seem to have 1 million ounces, but there's not many that have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 million ounces and above. So you're kind of filtering for the larger projects. Are there any other resource stocks outside of gold and silver that have your attention? You know, if you look at energy, or if you look at, you know, oil and gas or uranium or copper, anything else that you like outside of the precious metals?
Yeah, I'm starting to finally get into uranium again. I had been in it, and it took its big run, and then everybody got real hyped about it again. I'm starting to dip my toe in uranium, and I'm starting to dip my toe into some energy stocks. And I'm going to do it very gradually because I don't think we're going to see any significant run in those for a while yet. And so I'll cost average down a little bit until they hit bottom. And then I'll take a larger position in some of these.
All right, Doc, let's talk markets then. I know you wanted to talk about the bond market, where rates have been, I guess, kind of bouncing sideways here. They're definitely not going down anymore, but we're also not seeing huge spikes in interest rates as we're talking the 10-year right around 4.2%, which, again, is a little off some of its highs from earlier this year, but pretty much right in the middle of this range that we've been in since Q4 of 2023. What do you see happening in the bond market?
interesting what the long-term charts are telling me in the bond market right now. We're getting a little rally in the bond market, but based on what I'm looking at from a long chart basis on a monthly, to me, there's very good odds that toward the end of this year and into the first half of 2026, we could see the second leg of the bond market down. That means higher rates. So one has to ask themselves, well, how could that happen? And that tells me that inflation, which is moribund right now, is not dead. And something's going to give. Now, that could change. I could change my view on that if I see some things technically. But right now, it's showing that there's going to be pressure on the bond market end of this year or the first half of next year. And so I'm keeping my eye on that to see what's going to happen there. I think we're still going to move a little higher next month in the bond market, but then I think it's going to come back a little bit. But watch out toward the end of this year or first half of next year for the second leg down in the bond market. The first leg ended in the end of 2022, and we're going to see a second leg down. It's just a matter of when, and I think it's coming.
Well, Doc, you're not alone in that view. A lot of people think after a 40-year bond bull market that we need to see a more protracted, drawn-out bond bear market. But I guess I got to wonder, what are the higher rates that it would be in store with the bond sell-off? So, you know, this is not next week or next month, but, you know, towards the end of this year, beginning of next year, if we do see the bonds start selling off even more, what does that mean for the Fed? Do they come in and try to backstop it? If rates start going higher, do they abandon their idea of cutting rates and go into hiking rates? How does that affect, you know, the precious metals, the markets? What's your longer-term outlook on a bond sell-off and higher interest rate environment?
That's going to be a hard thing for the Fed. They're really in trouble because the biggest, second biggest expense of our budget now is interest payments on the bond market. So they're going to have to solve a way of somehow keeping the interest rate down on these bonds or some other methodology to the damage it would do to the budget. Now, they're doing a couple of things right now. Of course, you got Musk doing his thing from a cost standpoint on the budget. And then if there's increased tariffs, that's going to bring in revenue right to the government. So that's going to be a positive. But other than that, they're going to have to get creative to find a way to prevent the damage that higher rates would do to the government budget. And I've seen a number of thoughts on how to do that. But it's going to be interesting to see what the Fed does and what the government does to prevent a real meltdown and collapse of our government from that standpoint.
Is this a this year type of problem then, with higher rates starting to creep into at least people's radar or actually into their back pocket?
I think it's going to be more next year. And I think we're going to get a little relief here for a while, but based on what I'm seeing technically, it's going to happen next year. But we'll see. And if I come on in the future, I'll remark if I see a change in those charts that tell me, hey, we're going to get a reprieve from that. But right now, it does not look promising.
Well, Doc, let's quickly fit in the general markets. When you look at U.S. equities, they've had a rip-roaring couple of years here. You've actually done well trading some stocks in the general equities, but are you worried we're getting up to a point where the rally is over? Is there an extension of this rally? How are you looking at U.S. stocks?
So U.S. stocks are going to come off here for a while. I wouldn't be surprised to see us go down to about 42,000 in this move down. And I think we're going to get that. And then the question is, do we break lower? Do we break the uptrend? And we're going to know, frankly, and probably by April, by May, whether we see a break lower. And it's very possible we could, and we could go then down to 35,000, 37,500, that area. But what's interesting to me also is another chart, which is the Dow to gold ratio. I think that's a chart that people should be watching too now, because we're right at an inflection point on the Dow to gold ratio. When you look at the monthly chart, we're sitting right at the 200-month moving average. And we're looking like we could break below that in the next 3 months. And if that's true, that means a combination that, or that means that the industrials are going to underperform gold. And so that tells me that the stock market could continue to get hit while gold could maintain its pricing pretty well. So I would encourage people to keep an eye on the monthly chart on the Dow to gold ratio, which looks like it wants to break lower.
Well, that's something definitely to watch. And in all fairness, looks like gold has been outperforming the Dow since the start of 2022. Really outperformed in 2020 for a short period of time. But other than that, this chart has been relatively range bound for about 10 years now. Looks like any break below kind of a 12 level, 12 and a half, would really signify a major move here. But you're not the only one to bring up that relationship. And I know it's something we're talking about regularly, is how gold is reacting and how it's faring against the conventional markets, which, boy, oh boy, those U.S. markets have done well for so, so long. Doc, we'll wrap it up here. It's always great having you on the show. Thanks for taking time with us on this weekend show. And for all of you listening, please check out the rest of our show throughout the week, either on our website, kereport.com, on our podcast. Just search The KE Report in your podcast player, or on YouTube, again, by searching The KE Report. Please subscribe, leave us a review and a rating. It helps move us up those charts. Doc, again, thanks for joining us on this weekend show. Everyone, thanks for tuning in to the weekend edition of The KE Report. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.